In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us for an update on yet another appeal being made to the Supreme Court on the part of the Little Sisters of the Poor. They've been in the news up and down in the courts. The latest time we talked about this, they had been denied by the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals their consciences. And the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals said, "We think we understand your consciences better than you do." For this update, Stephanie Barclay joins us, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. Stephanie, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, thank you for having me.
What are the Little Sisters of the Poor seeking from the Supreme Court this time around?
The Little Sisters are seeking the same relief that they've always been seeking, and that is to be given the same treatment as the Catholic bishops. The government seems to think that they're not religious enough to be given a real exemption from this HHS mandate that would force them to help the government provide contraception and abortifacient that the Little Sisters religiously object to. And so it is that treatment, that equal treatment, that they are asking for and hope that the Supreme Court will be willing to provide them.
How have they fared in the courts up to this point?
This is going to be the second time in 2 years that they've asked for relief from the Supreme Court. And the last time around, they were just asking for temporary relief because the government was trying to move forward aggressively and crush them with fines before they had even had their day in court. And in that situation, the Supreme Court stepped in and basically pushed pause and said, "No, government, you can't crush the Little Sisters with these fines until they've had the chance to pursue this case all the way until the end." And I want to emphasize how rare it is for the Supreme Court to do that. Usually the Supreme Court stays out of things like that and only steps in if they see a case is very deserving and where there's a clear entitlement to relief. And so we think, and the Supreme Court hasn't just done that for the Little Sisters. They've done that for 5 nonprofit organizations that have come before them on this same issue. Every time the government has gone before the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the nonprofit. And we think that's a strong indication that the Supreme Court believes these organizations really deserve that protection.
There was a long piece in the New York Times, I believe, titled, in the opinion pages, titled "A Religion Case Too Far for the Supreme Court?" And it likens the request of the Little Sisters of the Poor to people having religious objections to military service or to someone perhaps asking not to have to pay their taxes because of religious considerations. Is that an apt comparison?
It is not an apt comparison. I'm familiar with the piece that you're talking about. And it's really easy to attack a straw man and then feel like you've made a successful argument. And that's really all that that piece does, is set up a caricature of what the Little Sisters are asking for and not really address their true request to the government. So let's talk about the military example. We agree that when the context of an objector, it makes sense for them to be able to let the government know, "I object," and the government allow them to exempt them. And if that's really what the government we're doing here with the Little Sisters, that would be a different story. But in the military context, for it to look like what the government is doing to the Little Sisters, it would be a little different. It would be like the government saying, "We need you to sign this form that you're objecting and go track down somebody to replace you. And by the way, can you help train them and give them your equipment while you're at it?" And in this case, the government to the Little Sisters has said, "We want you to authorize us, the government, to hijack your insurance plan and take over the healthcare infrastructure you have provided." And so for the exemption that the government supposedly is offering, they're saying, "We won't make you pay for it," although that's debatable, but we do need to use your plan, sisters, to still hand out these contraceptives. And the Little Sisters are saying, "That's no accommodation at all. Just because you removed one of our objections, which is paying for these drugs, doesn't mean that you've addressed our other objection, which is we don't want you to use our plans to provide these drugs." And historically in our country, it has always been the case that religious healthcare providers were able to shape their health benefits to reflect their religious beliefs. And it is something that the Obama administration is shifting far beyond the norm to try and pretend like that's not something that religious organizations are entitled to.
Okay, the op-ed piece in the New York Times ends this way, and while not surprising, I still would like your response to it. It says this: at stake is the health of civil society in an increasingly diverse country. Religious conflict is a worldwide problem that, of course, lies far outside the Supreme Court's purview. But the court can do its part, as I believe it will, by labeling this anachronistic and politically driven dispute over birth control for what it is, a case too far. What's your response to that?
Well, the assumption underlying these types of arguments is that as long as the government makes some compromise in what it initially wanted to do, we should just be happy with the compromise and take it and run with it. And that's really what the op-ed piece and a lot of other critics are arguing is, look, the government has made some compromises. You just need to meet in the middle. But really what that would incentivize the government to do in every case is to make the most outrageous starting position, and the government's position here starting was pretty outrageous. And then they could always say, all right, we'll fall back a little bit. We're a little less outrageous now. You should be willing to take it. And if that was really the law in the country, that as long as the government was just one iota less outrageous in what it was requiring religious people to do, we wouldn't have any religious freedom in our country. It's like somebody's trying to force you to drink a cup of poison, and they say, all right, I'll dump out half of a cup. Just drink half of a cup of poison. What's the problem? I've compromised. Take yes for an answer. It's not a big deal. It is a big deal when what the government is trying to do is to force these little sisters who serve the poor and some of the most vulnerable in our society and the elderly to say, we're going to crush your religious beliefs unless and make you choose between your faith and your ministry, even though we have lots of other alternatives to deal with this problem. We've got, the government has its own insurance exchanges that they're very proud of. They have the Title X program. There are a lot of other ways they can get these drugs out to the American public without forcing the little sisters to violate their faith.
They've been there twice in 2 years, as you've said. If the Supreme Court decides in favor of the Little Sisters of the Poor, does that settle the matter once and for all? About a minute here, Stephanie.
Yes, as the Supreme Court takes their case, unlike last time where it was just temporary relief, this time it would be final relief. And we're hopeful, we anticipate that if the Supreme Court took a case, they would have a decision broad enough to protect all religious nonprofits when it comes to understanding this rule. And we think that there's a strong likelihood, based on the court's already demonstrated interest in this case, that the court is going to want to settle this issue once and for all, since it's of so much importance to so many organizations, and they're facing millions and millions of dollars of fines if they don't get relief.
Stephanie Barclay is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Beckett Fund at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Stephanie, thanks for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on, Todd.
Folks, we constantly hear from listeners that one of their favorite aspects of Issues Etc. is the breadth of topics that we cover in the course of a week, and that's exactly what you'll find in the audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference that was held earlier this summer. You'll hear some of your favorite guests teaching on subjects like, and look at the breadth here, vision casting leaders in the church, the church's response to postmodernism, the differences between men and women, the historicity of Christianity, biblical archaeology, creation, and a Lutheran approach to the church fathers, and more. What you get there is a kind of a condensed form of that breadth of topics and guests that you get every week on Issues Etc. there in an audio DVD with over 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Now, we'll send you a audio DVD of the conference if you're a non-conference attendee for a suggested donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. You can order it online at issuesetc.org. You can also order by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the first article of the Apostles' Creed, God the Father, with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.